Welcome to Public Health Out Loud, Public Health for the Public. My name is Dr. Philip Chan on behalf of the Rhode Island Department of Health, WIC, which is short for the Special Supplemental Nutrition Education Program for Women, Infants, and Children, is celebrating its 50th anniversary this month. Rideau's very own Ann Barone, Chief of the Office of Women, Infants, and Children, joins us today to talk about the program's history and the positive impact it has had on so many families over the years. Ann Barone, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, Ann, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
I am basically a nutritionist. I've been in nutrition for close to like 39 years now and have worked in the WIC program for 39 years, starting at a local program and then coming somehow to the Department of Health and now oversee a lot of the work at the program. So basically what I do, I'm the chief of the program, and I basically help to take federal law around the WIC program and turn it into an actionable item in Rhode Island, along with the whole team here. We have client services, people who work with the families and the local programs that actually provide the services. And we have a fiscal team that looks at all of the food that we provide to the community. And we also have a vendor unit that actually looks at the stores where people can purchase their WIC foods. We do a lot of the administration of the program. We don't actually see families here, but we do provide a lot of technical assistance, education to new nutritionists out of college, and basically spread the word about healthy eating and good nutrition practices.
So nutrition is so important, obviously, as a physician. That's something I tell my patients every day. And the WIC program, so Special Supplemental Nutrition Education Program for Women, Infants, and Children. Tell us why there's a specific program for this. How did WIC first get its start?
It was first noticed in the 1960s, mid-60s to the later 60s, that children living in poverty were malnourished. They weren't getting enough food. They weren't growing. They had anemia. Lower income families didn't seem to have enough resources to purchase healthy foods during a time when our economy was really doing very, very well. And there were a lot of factors to that. After World War II, formula started hitting the marketplaces, and to be considered a middle class America was to feed your babies formula, really not breastfeed. And people who really had limited income really could not afford it. So they were watering down formula. They didn't have enough food to purchase, just your standard thing. So this became a real concern. So in about 1972, Congress had decided that we need to take care of our citizens and our babies especially. So in 1972, Congress did approve and pass a two-year study looking at how to better feed babies in America. From there, this is through the Department of Agriculture, which is a little bit different than your usual CDC or any of the programs, but this is how it basically began. And then in 1974, the first WIC clinic opened in Kentucky, where there was a lot of poverty. And initially, the WIC program was only serving pregnant participants and infants. In 1975, the program became permanent, and they expanded it to serve applicants who were pregnant or postpartum and children to the age of 5, so infants and children to their 5th birthday. Back in the 1970s, WIC had little vouchers that were used like checks in stores, and people could go in and buy them. We have now joined the 21st century, and we use EBT cards, which we call eWIC. And on these cards, it doesn't have a cash value. What it says is this family can get this many gallons of milk. This family, you know, can get this much iron fortified cereal, this much cheese, this many fruits and vegetables. So we are item driven and not financially driven in how we do it. And the reason we do that is we're really looking at the nutrients for the very specific population that we're serving for a very small amount of time. And it's critical developmental time when babies' brains are growing really quickly. So if you think of a person who's pregnant, that baby's brain is growing very quickly in utero. So we want to provide the education, the food safety, the nutrients, so that the mother has some of the best birth outcomes.
Let me ask you this. So there's also SNAP benefits, right? So SNAP benefits are also sometimes have been called food stamps, but WIC is different than SNAP benefits. How does WIC work exactly? If someone's listening to this and they're like, well, I want to learn more and potentially even qualify, how do you do that?
So WIC is much different. We are a public health program, and our goal is health and development of the baby and having children reach their potential in life. So to apply for the program, you have to meet income guidelines. So we serve 185% above the poverty level.
About how much is that, Ann?
For a family of four, it's about $30,000 a year. And it depends on family size. So if you're a family of eight, your income guideline is going to be a lot higher. So it definitely is family size. The one thing is, if someone applies and they look like they're over income because they're one person applying for the program, yet they are pregnant, that would be a family of two in WIC world, because we are really looking at healthy birth outcome and also a healthy baby being born. So if someone were carrying twins, that would be a family of three. And we differ from SNAP in that respect, is we both have the same income guidelines, but we define family much different in the WIC world. So
can someone do both, like be on SNAP and WIC?
You can be on both SNAP and WIC, yes. And as a matter of fact, if you're on SNAP first, you don't have to go over our income guidelines. You're automatically what we call income eligible for the program. And that's true of Medicaid as well. So if somebody is on medical assistance or getting, as referred to in our program, people will say, I'm on state medical. They are automatically income eligible for our program. We don't need to look at their income at all. So again, if someone saw a child under the age of five in their practice, and they saw that they were a Medicaid recipient, a referral to the program would be great. You know, because automatically they're income eligible for our program. We try to make it as easy as possible.
And how do people actually enroll? Do they call the Department of Health, or is there a website, or how do people actually learn more and potentially even enroll?
We contract with community health centers, hospitals, some social service agencies, some neighborhood agencies. And so we have about 27 sites throughout the state, and it's run by 11 local agencies. So people do have to call the local program and make an appointment, because one of the things that we do in WIC that's different than the SNAP program is we do provide access to healthy foods, but we also provide nutrition education and health screening. So we'll do a height, a weight, we'll do a hemoglobin. We check lead levels if it's a child, and then we make referrals to appropriate resources. We do client-centered interviewing. So we try to meet the family where they are, in the fact that if somebody comes into our program and they're sleeping in their car, we may not talk about nutrition. We might talk about how we can help them to get either some kind of shelter or a more permanent housing, and we refer them to some resource specialists who can help with that kind of thing. So we do an array of things. We are required to provide nutrition education, but it doesn't have to be at the first appointment. We would just basically try to meet someone where they are to help them get to that point of being healthier. Mm-hmm. We also review immunization records and make referrals to providers if needed. So they get an array of services. One thing I like to say is we have great outcomes in the world of WIC. We have less low birth weight and premature children born to people who have been on WIC while pregnant, as opposed to their neighbors who may not have been on WIC while pregnant. So we've reduced those risks quite a bit, but we don't do it alone. Like I said, making
team
the
effort.
Referrals, yes, and building that community around the needs of that family is really important. We love to say, oh, WIC, if you get on WIC, you do this, you have better healthcare, you have better this, but actually it's the whole team.
Let me ask you this, Anne. How many people a year does WIC serve? How many people a month, a year, or even
We,
total over the last 10 years?
right. So we have a participation rate now of about 17,700
Wow.
participants on the program. In order to maintain that, though, about 39,000 people walk through our doors a year. Because remember, we will serve an applicant who's pregnant into their postpartum, but then they go off the program. Children come on to the program, but at 5 years old, they drop off. So we have a constant rotation of people coming through.
Just to make sure I understand this, and people get this education, they get some counseling, and they get a little debit card potentially where they can go to the grocery store and get food.
Correct. And the food is very specific. So, for instance, as I had said, the iron fortified cereal. So, one thing that WIC initially, when it started, we had a lot of children who were anemic. So, we provide eggs, cheese, peanut butter, beans, fresh fruits and vegetables, or frozen or canned, depending on what people can store and how they can store it. So, milk, juice. So we have a wide variety of foods that will soon be changing, where they're expanding it to better meet the cultural needs of families in the state. So it'll be really neat. But our cereals, they have to be low in sugar, they have to be high in iron, and they have to be high in fiber. You know, you can't go in and get Fruity Pebbles on the WIC program. It would be a much more nutritious food, you know, like Kix or Chex mixes and things like that. And same thing with milk. We follow the guidelines for Healthy Americans. So anyone over the age of two gets low fat or fat-free milk. We do serve children who may be failure to thrive. We offer supplements. And again, that's in working conjunction with the pediatrician. WIC will not authorize a food prescription without the doctors knowing about it and kind of counseling and making sure that we're coordinating services well.
You know, that's interesting, Anne. Let me ask you this, something you touched on in the beginning. You mentioned that WIC was initially started when kids were literally starving. And just fast forward now to the current time. You know, one thing I keep seeing here in public health is that Rhode Island is really struggling with the childhood obesity epidemic. And in fact, unfortunately, Rhode Island is really one of the top states in terms of rates and numbers of obese children, unfortunately. And part of this links to nutrition and not having access potentially to healthy food. So, you know, it's just interesting how this has evolved over the last couple of decades. Tell us your thoughts about where we are now with just childhood obesity and how WIC, if this is on your radar, and what WIC is doing to address it.
This is definitely on our radar. It's funny because when you see a malnourished child who's failure to thrive, you say, oh, we need to get food into them. When you see a child who is really struggling with overweight or obesity, you say to them, oh, we've got to cut their food instead of changing their food. If you think of someone who can't afford week to week or just getting by financially, what kinds of foods are they going to buy? Are they going to buy fresh fruits and vegetables, or are they going to buy foods that satiate a little bit longer? They're higher in maybe a fat content. They're maybe higher in sodium. Because they don't want their children to starve. And I think one great thing about WIC recipients and people who really have to budget is they know how to stretch a dollar. Unfortunately, if you've ever looked at sales in stores, look what's on sale. Potato chips, oodles of noodles is a great one. They're very inexpensive, except they don't have a lot of nutrients in them. And as a nutritionist, you want to get the biggest impact of nutrition for what you eat. And that's usually high fiber, low fat, low sodium, and things high in nutrients, B vitamins, C vitamins, calcium, phosphorus, potassium. And the foods that are really a little bit more factory made are
Processed.
processed. Yes, they're not good. So when you see a child who is really suffering from obesity or overweight, many of them are undernourished. So it's a matter of changing the choice, really looking at how we can better help, you know, and again, encouraging physical activity and there are many Rhode Islanders who don't live in safe neighborhoods. So you're going to have your child outside playing when you are worried about the environment out there. So we in WIC talk about those things. We give ideas for parents to do some physical activity, dancing in your house, or playing games that create activity, using homemade things. I think over the time we've taken paper and rolled it up and crunched it up and used old milk bottles that were clean to use as like bowling in the house that were safe and things like that. So I know when I worked in a WIC office years ago, we had a connection with the YMCA and we're able to get some time for some of the WIC recipients to be able to use the facilities at the YMCA at no cost to the families. So looking at opportunities and again, referrals, like I said, it does take a team to do this kind of work. We can't do it all, but we can definitely bring in our partners who can help.
And let me ask you this, just looking at the scope of where we are today, and it seems like things have gotten worse over the last decade in terms of obesity in general in the community, but especially among children. I mean, in the field of public health, what do we need to do to really get a handle on this? It seems like a lot of our efforts are certainly having some effect, but we're not really reversing some of these trends. In your opinion and insight, what do we need to do to get a better handle on this?
One thing is just making healthier choices a lot easier for families. You know, it's hard to buy fresh produce when you know, oh, it could go bad. Or I think having, again, a partnership with locally grown things. But I'll tell you, even in the WIC program, we have to do cost containment. We are a discretionary program. We're a grant-based program. And we have to watch our dollars as well. So there are many different projects that are going on in the state that people are really looking at. What better things can we do to serve the community and get healthier choices out for families that is cost effective? I think Johnson & Wales is doing some work. I think Brown University has also been doing some work. We've been fortunate to have some help and some grants in the WIC program to really try to get the word out and really promote a little bit more. But it really has to be attainable to people who may not traditionally have been able to afford these things. There's a lot of work to do.
We're here with Anne Barone, Chief for the Office of Women, Infants, and Children here at the Rhode Island Department of Health. And we're talking today about the Supplemental Nutrition Education Program for Women, Infants, and Children, also known as WIC. Thank you again, Anne, so much for joining us. We are winding down our time here, but I want to give you one last minute here. The WIC program is celebrating its 50th anniversary. I mean, that just seems like a long time, and certainly want to thank you for your dedication to this program. What are you planning on doing to celebrate the 50th anniversary, and any final thoughts for our listeners?
We're having a lot of activities throughout the whole year, 2024. And one big thing that we're doing is next week, we are having a celebration for the WIC staff and all of their dedication throughout the state. We have about 100 staff members, but we are incorporating the 50th in all the activities, promoting and supporting breastfeeding, World Breastfeeding Week, Farmers Markets will be out at the market celebrating the 50th. And we are also planning for the next 50 years where we're really trying to reduce barriers to families to get onto the WIC program and make it easier to be able to do some maybe online education as opposed to having to come into WIC clinics, really looking at the program. We have new food guidelines coming out that will really incorporate a lot more. We, you know, for instance, our grains are whole grain breads, pasta, or rice, whereas we're adding quinoa and we're adding many other grains into the package. We're doing vegan options for families. We are offering non-dairy milks as part of the process, and also in keeping in mind, looking at the nutrient value of all of these foods. So these are some of the big changes that we're having to move us into the next 50 years and hopefully make the world even healthier.
Love it. Well, thank you again, Anne, so much for your work for WIC, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
To learn more about the WIC program or to see if you may be eligible, call the Rhode Island Department of Health Health Information Line at 401 401- 800-222-5960 and then dial 711 to learn more. In closing, I again want to thank Ann Barone, Chief for the Office of Women, Infants, and Children here at the Rhode Island Department of Health. I want to thank Erica Collins, our Executive Producer, and Carol Stone, our Technical Director. I'm Dr. Philip Chan, signing off on behalf of the Rhode Island Department of Health. Thank you all, and be well.